I'm typically like, yes, yes, keep going, yes, or I'm coming, baby.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean.
Hi, sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host, and today I am doing an Ask Me Anything episode. So I have a lot of questions, as always, so let's get into it. First one, ugh, I knew it. You were the hot blonde cheerleader in high school that would fuck the star QB in the locker room while nerds like me were stuffed in our lockers. Did it turn you on when your boyfriend and his jock friends would give me titty twisters or when they would pull my tighty whities over my head? Ugh, so this just breaks my heart that you think this about me. I know in my last AMA, I shared, you know, some cheerleading memories or some high school memories about, you know, having sex in my uniform and things like that. But first of all, I want to say, I'm sorry you were bullied. I was also bullied in middle school. I remember wanting to look like Chloe from Smallville, and she had this gorgeous little blonde bob, and I brought that picture to the hair salon and they cut my hair, and the next day at school, everyone called me Barbara Boy, and I was so humiliated, and I was like, oh, so I've like literally never cut my hair short since then because of that. I'm still traumatized. Maybe not traumatized. Getting titty twisters, and what else did you say? Like getting put in, stuffed in lockers and tighty whities over your head, like that is some intense bullying, and I never even experienced that or witnessed that in my high school. My boyfriends in high school were very kind, very generous. Although my first partner, you know, I felt very disconnected in that relationship. I didn't really feel in my body or in that relationship. And I do feel like I did go through some sexual trauma that first experience we had because I was drunk and I don't remember it. But still, I don't have anything bad to say about him as a human being. Like he was a nice guy. He was a football player, but he never disrespected. And from my perspective and in my experience, he never bullied anybody. The football players in general, I don't think at my school really bullied people. Maybe they kind of teased the freshmen of the football team, or more like hazing amongst like athletes, but I don't really recall memories of that actually happening. And my second partner, my first love of my life, a sexy Guatemalan man. He was a cheerleader. He was a gymnast. He was, you know, he was also just like such a kind soul. And he never disrespected anyone from my experience. I mean, yeah, he cheated on me. But again, I have nothing bad to say about either of their characters. And in my experience in high school, even the cheerleaders, like we were all AP students, we were honor students. Like I don't think that we had those stereotypes that are in Mean Girls, you know, like we didn't have those stereotypical jocks and cheerleaders. All the cheerleaders that I would like, all of us were really smart and we were talented. And, yeah, I guess maybe I didn't grow up a cheerleader. Like I grew up a gymnast. I grew up, you know, I was the manager of my middle school basketball team. I was kind of a nerd. I definitely got made fun of for my glasses, get called four eyes. You know, I remember even getting bullied a little bit on the bus ride home because I sat in the back of the bus and I wasn't allowed to sit in the back of the bus because the eighth graders only could. So my experience, like going into middle school to high school, definitely was a shift. I did have this big confidence boost that I described in the last AMA. And I started feeling sexy and I started feeling confident and feeling good, but that didn't change my personality. I was still a very sweet person. I was still soft-spoken. I loved math. So I definitely feel just, like I had to tell you that that's not me. And that's not what my partners were like in high school either. So anyways, again, I'm sorry that you experienced that in high school, and I hope you've moved through it, you know, through meditation or therapy or, you know, all the many ways that you can move through with those self-care practices and journaling and all of that to move through those traumatic experiences that can really carry us through our lives. But let's get to the next one. It's also another cheerleading question. More on your slutty cheerleading past. Did you often fantasize about the boys on the football team? Were you looking at their butts? Were you thinking about them in their jock straps? Did it turn you on to wear those sexy briefs under your outfit and have everyone see your butt? So many questions here. Fantasizing about the football team while I was a cheerleader, I didn't really do that. You know what? I feel like I was more fantasizing at the basketball games. The football games were fun, but they were often cold. You know, I grew up in the Midwest in Chicago, like a suburb of Chicago. And so they were cold. And plus, like, the football players are all covered up in their pads and all of that. And I don't know. That wasn't a time where I was getting turned on. I feel like I was more flirting with my fellow cheerleaders than fantasizing about the football players on the field. Maybe when I was dating that one for like a year and a half, maybe I thought about him. But even then, our relationship, it was so bizarre. Anyways, basketball games. Now that's a different story because you are on the sidelines of these games and they are like falling into you sometimes from like the court, and you can see the sweat and you can see, and you're so much closer to them that I feel like, and that was springtime. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like the energy of the basketball games was so much more fun than the football games. And in regards to the briefs question, I love this question because actually my cheerleading team, our squad, we bought these zebra. We were black. We were red, black, and white were like our colors. Or actually, it was just like red and black. But we ended up getting these zebra print briefs to wear under our uniforms. And so obviously the boys didn't have them. Again, we also had a co-ed team. Like, we were very, we went to state all 4 years in a row, not to toot my own horn, but we were a competitive team. And so half of our team was men, and even football players. There were a couple football players that in the fall, they played football, and in the spring they were on our cheerleading team. So they competed with us. So, I just don't think that I actually grew up with those stereotypical like football bros. Like, it was a pretty awesome high school experience. And a pretty awesome high school that I went to. But anyways, we wore these zebra print briefs under our uniforms. And I was so grateful that we were just so stoked that our coach let us even get those and wear those. I don't think we never wore them for competitions, but for basketball games. Yes, that was so fun. And yes, I always felt sexy just being able to, you know, do the flips. Like, I remember doing round off back handspring, back handspring, back handspring all the way down the courts. So I could just keep going and going forever. And, you know, always having my skirt up and my cute little zebra briefs hanging out. Yeah, of course I loved that. I think a lot of women that are dancers and that are like, you know, performers in a way, like, yeah, we like that. We like looking good. We like it feeling good. So yes, I enjoyed everyone seeing my butt for sure. Okay, now enough of memory lane. Thank you for staying with me there. Next, I would imagine that sex was pretty bland when you first started. Do you remember when you began to crank it up a notch and start having harder sex, like having your hair pulled or getting choked or getting spanked when you're in doggy, etc.? Yeah, so high school, my sex was pretty boring. College, also, sex was pretty boring. I mean, I definitely was having a lot of one-night stands in college. I like was newly single. And so I was definitely having a lot of one night stands, but they were all drunken experiences. And so in my experiences, those are never good. So my good sex, my rough sex, like you described, or my, like cranking it up a notch and starting to have harder sex, that was when I moved abroad. So New Zealand and Australia, like, those are the memories where I'm like, damn, that's when I feel like I also like started experiencing men that would just go down on me for hours. Like, I feel like maybe not hours, but like an extensive amount of time in high school and high school and college. I just don't really remember men ever doing that. And also my memories are very like vague. It's kind of like blurry throughout that time in my life. Like, there's specific memories that I have, and I kept a journal for so long, which helped me write my memoir. So it's cool to like go back, but I'm like, damn, like most of those memories, like I don't really fully remember them. They're just like, because I've written about them and I've read them in my journal, I like remember them. but my memory is not as clear as like a lot of people that I know. But that being said, my sexual memories from living in Australia, living in New Zealand, like, damn, I had some really incredible moments. And that's when it started getting like very sensual, but also really rough. And like you described, like getting slapped and spanked, like that was when the juicy goods started happening. And I think that's also when a lot of people start finding themselves, finding their sexual power, is when you're out of school and you're living on your own and you're like an adult. You know, I was like 22. So it felt like I was really finding myself and exploring my sexuality. And yeah, so I am. Thanks for that question, because it's fun to remember those first few experiences where I started getting into that rough stuff. And it is a lot of fun. And it was also sensual stuff. It was just really tapping into my body and really having these incredible sexual experiences, which is why I would also encourage people to explore and not stay with one person for the rest of their life, just because I feel like there's so much that you have to experience and live and learn. And yeah, it's just awesome to have so many different lovers so that you can experience the wide range of pleasure that is out there. Next, you're so open and transparent and honest. So I was wondering where your boundaries are and why. Like, what topic are you terrified of being asked or exposing a specific experience or afraid of others finding out? You know, to be honest with you, I have written a memoir. So my life, I am very transparent. I am very open. My life is something that I plan on sharing with the world. And it's something that I do every week with you guys, sharing my experiences and even my body on my Patreon and my sexy nights on my Patreon. And so I definitely share my life with you guys. And I feel like I have always been pretty transparent, especially with people that I trust and people that I love. And so do I have boundaries? Yeah, of course. I think the main thing for me, even though I plan on sharing very intimate moments in my memoir and my book, I think like on my podcast, on the day-to-day, I just really have to respect people's boundaries in my life. So whether that's my partner's boundaries, whether that's my family's boundaries, like I definitely have learned as I've begun to be more of this public presence that people close to me have boundaries. So I think that's the biggest thing that I think about most, is like making sure that I'm not crossing people's boundaries that are really close to me. But in regards of like my personal boundaries for sharing, I don't know if I have any. Like, I have shared some embarrassing and gross stories with you guys. So at this point, like, there's nothing that I'm scared to share. And even if I am scared to share things, I often kind of move through that fear and just want to teach you and inspire you to let go and move through your emotions and feelings and experiences. And so I just want to be that voice and that example for you. So I really, even if I'm scared, and I have been, I know, opening up and reading pieces of my work and sharing parts of me with you, I still do it, and it still feels good. Sometimes not so good with the hate out there, but the majority of the time, I feel really good about it. So thank you for asking. I watched your interview on Soft White Underbelly, which I really enjoyed because of your openness, beauty, and joyfulness. And it made me wonder, have you thought about collecting kinks and fantasies for a book or a web page in the same way Nancy Friday did in her books? Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned my book a few times in this episode. Yes, I am doing that. You know, even on my website, which I know I haven't uploaded anything new in a very long time, I started doing some BJ erotica posts and posting some old stories and some new stories that I had written. So there is some of my writing on my website, barbiejeanxo.com. But as far as compiling stories of my life, yes, that is happening. And I have been working more and more on my book. And, you know, the whole point of this launching this podcast and this platform was to build an audience and build people that would be interested in purchasing my book one day. So that is my business plan. So I hope that you all get to read my book soon enough. Hey Barbie, when was the first time you had that booty twitching, leg shaking orgasm that made you scream, "I'm coming," or "yes"? And since we're on this topic, what do you usually say or do as you're coming? That's what I say. I'm coming. Or yes, I'm typically like, yes, yes, keep going. Yes. Or I'm coming, baby. Or often I ask for permission to come when I'm in that little bit of a submissive space or feeling that connection or wanting that connection from my partner. So I really do often ask to come. So in that situation, I won't say I'm coming because he knows it's coming. But most of the times I say yes, or yeah, I feel like I say yes a lot. Or thank you. I do say thank you. I'm a grateful person. Next. Hi, Barbie. I just watched your interview on Softwide Underbelly and was curious about your story of giving a guy a piggyback ride. You mentioned you could feel his erection, but did he ever come? What was that whole experience like? And if he came, did that give you an added sense of confidence? Oh my gosh. Yes. So I've also, it's mentioned a few times, I was on Softwide Underbelly. And if you haven't seen that, check it out. But I talked about this experience in Australia when I was living there, where me and a girlfriend piggybacked this man because he had this fetish of being piggybacked. And so this experience was really my first like fetish experience, which was really cool because I felt so like curious about him and I felt so interested in him. And I just loved this unique kink, unique fetish of his. And yes, I talked about in that interview how he was hard on my back. And my girlfriend that was with me was like videoing it and I could feel his hard cock on my back. But no, he did. It was very professional. It was very transactional. he did not come anywhere near us. He did not come in his pants. It was more of something that he wanted footage for to then come later too. But still he was aroused in the experience or in the session, I guess, maybe of us carrying him around this yoga studio. But no, he did not actually ejaculate. He probably did later that night. I'm sure of it. And then your next question was, did that give you an added sense of confidence? Yeah, you know, again, I was pretty confident in that period of my life. I was living abroad. I was having a lot of delicious experiences and traveling and exploring. And I think that experience, yeah, it did feel confident. I think afterwards we were also like, oh my God, like we need a drink. Like that was wild. But it was also, yeah, it was empowering. It made me feel good. And it made me feel also, you know, he was experiencing a lot of fear and opening up about his kink. So I could feel his energy softening to me as I was asking him questions and as I was being inquisitive about his life and where this came from and how he was able to experience it in relationships and that sort of thing. And because he was so private about it, it felt really good to give him that space to be vulnerable. And so, yes, I felt confident. I felt good. I loved that experience. I really did. It was a pivotal moment for me and for my life and trajectory, really looking back, like where I am at now, like, oh my God, of course I'm doing what I'm doing. Amazing. Okay. Next, if you are with a partner who's experiencing erectile dysfunction, what is your preferred or favorite way to pleasure him? So oral. Yeah. Like if you're not getting hard, obviously you can't penetrate me. And if you're not getting hard, like I will make it my mission to get you hard. So oral is the easiest way to do that, I feel like. And even if you don't get hard, it's still fun to suck a soft penis, I think. And that's when you can get the balls involved or the prostate involved. Or hi, Dexy. Hi, baby. I don't know if you can hear my little boy. He's meowing. I locked him in here. Sorry, buddy. Come here. Come here. But anyways, yes, oral all the way and in hopes to get them hard. But even if they don't, you know, you can explore the prostate, explore the balls, explore, you know, the nipples and have fun with just like their whole chest and groin area. And then sit on their face. That's what I would do. Okay. Next, ever gone skinny dipping? Oh my God. Yeah. All the time. That was a high school thing. We did a lot too in my friend's pool. We would just go skinny dipping and swim around together. Amazing. No wonder I'm bisexual. I loved being naked with my friends. Okay, next. Hi, Barbie. I'm a 33-year-old male who has been bi-curious most of my life. Last week, I went on a date for the first time with a guy and hit it off. This all feels so taboo to me. He's also black and I'm white. I never had interracial sex before, let alone with a guy. Any advice? Thanks. Ooh, okay. So you know, I personally don't think, like, I have had a lot of interracial sex, men and women, and I don't really think that's something you should, like, think about. But at the same time, I feel like race was never something I thought about until Black Lives Matter and until the big movement that we experienced a few years ago. And then I was all of a sudden, I was aware of race more so than ever. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, I had no idea that racism was still so prevalent in our society. And so that was still so eye-opening for me. So not to say that you shouldn't be aware of it. I do think it's something that you should respect and honor and know that their life has definitely been different than yours, like your privileged one as a white person. But I don't think sexually interacting with someone, that's something that you need to think about. I really don't think that there's like, yeah, I just don't think that that's something you need to think about. Maybe having a conversation with them as you get more vulnerable and intimate, it might be nice to like have that race conversation and talk about what it would be like if you were interested in like having a more committed relationship with them. But in terms of like having a sexual experience, like your first one ever, I first of all commend you for, you know, experiencing this bi-curious nature that you feel like you have. It's tough to do that. And I'm so proud of you for going on this date and, you know, hitting it off. I would just lean into that. And if you're turned on by him, then that's amazing. It doesn't matter what color of skin he has. I think you should just lean into what feels good and lean into this, you know, this sexual nature that you feel when you're around men. And if he's someone that is bringing that out of you, then just tap into it, lean into it. And I hope you guys have a wild night. Okay, last one. Are you an escort? You know, I am not an escort, but I do have a Patreon, which is my exclusive content page, which has my titties all over it, which, you know, has some of my erotic expressions and, you know, my life and my experiences. And just like, it's just me. It's me. It's what feels good. It has some, you know, fetish photography and all of that. But escorting, no, that's not something I've ever done. I've definitely done plenty of things throughout my life for money, like the experience I mentioned earlier, piggybacking a man. You know, I've definitely done topless bartending, lingerie bartending. I've, you know, sold my underwear, which I know I've talked about. I've done a lot of like, yeah, random stuff like that, but never actually. Oh, there was one time where I had sex for money and I felt empowered. but escorting is not, yeah, like dating and doing that whole thing as a career or as a path is not something like I'm one that like wants to check things off my bucket list and experience so many unique things and just like have fun and enjoy life and be an adventure bunny. And so I'm oftentimes when I do it once, I'm like, okay, like DVP. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good without doing that again. Maybe one day. But I feel like a lot of experiences I've had, I'm like, okay, yeah, like that sex for money that time, I think I'm good now, you know? Maybe if a man came along in the future and he was super sexy and wanted to pay me or wanted to give me a good tip, like maybe I would accept it. But yeah, as escorting goes, that's not something I've ever done. So the only thing that I, you know, have now is my Patreon, which I encourage you to check out. So that's it for today, folks, my sweets. I love you guys so much. Thanks for coming back week after week. Please, if you haven't already, like and subscribe. It means so much to me. And if you haven't already too, follow me on Instagram, Sweet Release Podcast. I'd love for you to be there because that's where you can see all of my reels and my shorts. I appreciate you guys, and I'll be back next week with a guest. Talk soon. Bye.